Hi, and welcome to the second lesson in the Prayer to Go series on prayer. In our last time together, we asked a simple question. Why do most of our prayers of petition and intercession not get answered in the way we want them to be? We find our answer in two parts. First, we are not praying very much. And secondly, when we do pray, we are praying selfish prayers. As a result, most do not believe prayer really works and only average about 3 minutes a day of prayer, not really asking God to do anything, just checking in and saying hi. So we are here trying to give prayer a second chance, to learn how to pray prayers that do get answered positively by our Lord. We need to ask the question, what will make our prayers effective? What does God want us to pray about? Well, that question is the question the disciples asked Jesus to explain when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. This is the exact same question many believers today need to ask the Father. Lord, teach me to pray. I tried it a couple of times and it did not work. What do I need to do to make it work? God wants to and does answer that question. It is found in Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus starts off saying, this is how you should pray. No, he doesn't say, these are the exact words you should pray. He is basically saying, if you want effective prayer, these are topics or principles that I want you to cover. If you cover them, your prayers will be pleasing to the Father. Now, can we pray this prayer word for word? Absolutely. Not a problem. But it's the principles we're going after. So, let's go over each topic and see what principles or patterns Jesus taught us to pray so that our prayers can be effective. The very first phrase is, Our Father who art in heaven. What topic or subject is Jesus trying to teach here? I believe it is this. We should direct our prayers to God the Father because it is He who will answer our prayers. Now you may say, well, that's a no-brainer. What's new? Well, it means that we are absolutely dependent upon the Father to answer our prayers. It is God and God alone who will give us those answers. If God does not act, nothing will happen. Without Him, our prayers will not be answered, and there is nothing we can do to get them answered. We'll see how significant that is in a later lesson. Okay, look at the next phrase. Hallowed be thy name. What do we learn from this? Everything is to revolve around what God the Father stands for. How do we get that from those words? Because a person's name, hallowed be thy name, a person's name represents everything a person stands for, who he is and what he represents. Therefore, the phrase, hallowed be thy name, is basically saying everything is to revolve around you. Your ways are to be followed. You are to be exalted. Therefore, may you be lifted up high above all others. Now, putting these two phrases together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we can also learn something key. All prayer begins with praise of the Father. Starting your prayer in times of praise is very biblical. Praise for who He is. Praise for what He's done. Praise for His magnificence. Praise for what He stands for. Praise of any kind. So Jesus starts us out pointing us to God, being dependent upon God, and praising God. So, what is the next sentence and the next principle that we find there? The next sentence is this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What principle is Jesus addressing here? I believe there are two principles found here. First, if you are asking someone's kingdom to come, you must be in agreement with it. You must desire it. This is what I want. I want your kingdom. I agree with it. I'm aligned with it. Jesus is asking us, where's our allegiance? What is our greatest desire? What are we committed to? We are to be committed to God's kingdom. That's what our greatest desire is to be. Jesus wants us fully aligned with God and His kingdom. It is to be the highest priority of our lives. It is to be what we live for. But there's a second principle found here. Jesus is trying to get us to not only desire it, but to obey it. He is speaking about lordship. Are we really willing to submit ourselves to do His will? Acknowledging that we desire it and agree with it is one thing, but submitting to it is something else and far greater. Let me give you an example of this. I have a certain political party that I am committed to. When it comes time to vote, my vote falls with their party. I desire that party to be in charge. But when they call me up and say, hey, we need money, I do not automatically obey them and say, just tell me how much, I'll obey whatever you say. So I'm committed to the party, I desire it to be in charge, but I do not automatically obey that party. Jesus does not want that to be a possibility in our lives. He does not want us going to church every Sunday, lifting our hands in praise and worship, but then being a terrible witness the other 6 days of a week. I'm committed to your kingdom, God. I'll cheer you on. I'll vote for you, but I'm not going to obey everything you say. No. God knows there can be a big difference between desire and obedience. Therefore, Jesus puts both principles in there. So what's the next sentence and the next principle? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, at this point in time, Jesus seems to be shifting the focus of our prayers from God to us. Now notice, we are halfway through the prayer. So somewhere halfway through your prayer time, through my prayer time, we should start talking about ourselves, but not necessarily before. You mean if I spend an hour in intercessory prayer, I shouldn't even be talking about my needs the first half of the hour? That's what Jesus seems to be addressing. It should be full of praise and worship, and then you should pray about His kingdom coming, His will being done. Now, in the second half of our prayer time, we can begin to talk about ourselves in light of advancing God's kingdom. So, what kind of things do we need to talk about when we focus on ourselves? Daily bread. Daily bread. Daily bread. Oh, come on, Lord. What about a nicer car, a bigger home, maybe a boat or a larger checking account so I can just do what I want? I mean, I just spent half of my prayer time talking about your kingdom. Can I reward myself by talking about things I want? No. Not the things you want. Just your needs. Your daily bread. What principle is Jesus really addressing here? He is saying, ask God the Father to provide for all of your needs on a daily basis. Not your desires, not your wants, not the things you dream of at night when you are all alone and your catness comes out. Just your needs for today. Not your needs for tomorrow, not your needs for the next week, not your retirement needs, just your needs for this day. Now, most of us just skip over talking about our daily needs because we've got stores right around the corner that will meet those needs. So we think we don't really need to ask God for that, but we're missing two key things. First, this is not a hyper jump by Jesus. He is not teaching us spend the first half of prayer about God and His kingdom, then you can pray for yourself with regard to anything you want. No, the two tie together. And you've got to make this connection. It is so exciting and so key. What is it? If we are to advance God's kingdom here on this earth, what we prayed about in the first half of the prayer, God wants us to do it. He wants people to do it. He's chosen to do that. And in order for people to do it, they have to be alive and exist. In order for them to exist, they need nourishment in the form of bread. Therefore, we are asking God to meet our needs so that we may advance God's kingdom. God, give me something to eat and drink today so that I can have the power to advance your kingdom. In our minds, there needs to be a direct relationship between God's kingdom and our daily needs. When we pray prayers for ourselves, they are not to be a totally separate color. They are to be stained with God's kingdom everywhere. Everything is about God's kingdom permeating every prayer. We are to pray to God and ask Him to meet our daily needs for His sake, to advance His kingdom. And this is how we are to pray for others as well. God, I'm asking you to work in their lives so that they may advance your kingdom. Our family has a friend whose name is Brianna. Brianna has some health challenges at this time in her life. Brianna very easily can get sick because of what she eats or what she drinks and then have zero energy to do anything. Before I did this in-depth study on prayer, I used to pray, Lord, heal her so she can have strength and energy. This, I thought, is what God wants for everyone. God wants everyone to be healthy. But I never tied it into God's kingdom. Now I pray, Lord, how can Brianna advance your kingdom when she is sick and has no energy? For the sake of your great and holy name, heal her that she might serve you and make you famous. These are not two halves of a prayer that are totally separate. They are to be joined together. This challenges us in the area of motivation. What is my motivation for praying these prayers? Is this a need I have for advancing my kingdom or for advancing God's kingdom? If it is a cat prayer, if it's about my kingdom, God makes no promises. If it is a dog prayer, if it is for His kingdom, He does make promises. For such a long time in my prayer life, I never connected my daily needs with God's kingdom. Now I do. So now at the dinner table, I pray, Father, thank you for this food. Strengthen us with it that we might have energy to serve you and to advance your kingdom. Now all the needs I am asking God for have everything to do with God's kingdom. I finally connected my needs with God's kingdom and it has changed everything. The second key thing about praying for our daily bread is this. It is not solely about our physical needs. In other words, we usually only focus on the physical needs that we have, like food, drink, housing, clothing, transportation, things that we can see. But we must remember the words of Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, and I am the bread of life. Putting those two together in the context of Scripture and its greater component, what he is communicating is that we have daily needs far greater than simply that which we can see. We have needs in the area of allowing Christ to live through us, needs in the area of character, wisdom, love, kindness, patience, endurance, living for eternity, being a peacemaker, seeking to make God famous. All of these are a part of God's kingdom as well. So, what should we be praying about daily? Lord, what do I need to survive physically, but more importantly, to survive spiritually so I can advance your kingdom? God, I need wisdom to know how to talk to my boss so that you will look good. God, I need patience and self-control at school because I'm afraid I'll blow it and they know I'm a Christian and that'll make you look bad. God, don't let me worry about how I dress or the style of my shoes. It's not about me. Let me worry about loving others deeply, being a peacemaker with those who are not getting along, holding my tongue so as not to hurt others. There are so many needs that we have on a daily basis that cannot be seen. These two are areas of prayer we need to pray about. Now, what you need to be praying about during the second half of the prayer time can only be determined by you. Only you know what you need to advance God's kingdom. But that is what you need to ask God for the sake of His great name and His kingdom. And finally, notice Jesus did not say, "Give us this month our monthly needs." He said, "Daily needs." Why? Well, the answer is simple. God wants us coming before Him day after day after day. He wants us to keep our relationship with Him strong, fresh, and dependent. Why? Christianity is far more about relationship than anything else. He is lovingly encouraging us to spend time with Him. Keeping that relationship healthy is one of our greatest needs. How can we advance God's kingdom when we are out of sync with God Himself? This leads us into the next sentence in the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What is this principle here? We need to confess our sin to God. Why? Because if we have sin in our lives, it blocks our relationship with God. If our relationship with God is blocked, then we cannot be used by Him to advance His kingdom. Notice, it gets back to the first half of the prayer. It is all about God's kingdom. This is why the scriptures say to men, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Oh, how so many men's prayers are not being answered because of this one simple principle. Okay, what's the next sentence and what's the next lesson? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is the principle here? Well, first, we are totally dependent upon God to stay out of trouble. If God keeps you out of trouble, the glory goes to Him, and that's what life is all about. We need to be dependent upon God for everything in our lives, even staying away from temptation. Lord, you keep me out of trouble. I give you permission to stop me. Don't let me fall into temptation. I am 100% dependent upon you in this area. And secondly, God needs to make us watchful. We need to keep our eye out for danger signs that would put us in sin and steer clear of those dangerous opportunities. And lastly, we learn we are a target of Satan. He wants to destroy us. He wants to ruin our lives so that God's glory will be robbed. We need to be mindful of that and ask God to deliver us from evil. And where do we end the Lord's Prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus starts us out in worship and brings us right back again to worship, acknowledging that all things are from Him, through Him, and to Him. This is a pattern Jesus wants us to pray. It's not to put us into bondage, but rather to guide us in our prayer lives. Can you pray it word for word? Absolutely. But look for the principles in it. Do you see the difference between what Jesus taught and what James talked about in hedonistic squandering, praying selfish prayers? Do you see how different the pie charts look when we are focused primarily on ourselves without reference to God's kingdom? Versus when we are focused on God's kingdom first and foremost throughout all of our prayers. Well, let's spend some time in prayer now with the Prayer to Go prayers, and then you'll break down into small groups for discussion questions.
God's kingdom.
Father, your son's prayer tells me that I am to be excited about your kingdom, your name, and your reputation. Sometimes I am, but quite honestly, many times I am not. Oh, Father, make me excited about your kingdom, and make me obey you in every area of my life, so that your kingdom can be seen not only on this earth, but in my own life as well. Make me a consistent witness for your kingdom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
daily bread.
Father, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructs us to ask you for our daily bread or our basic needs. Make sure that I understand that my basic needs are a part of advancing your kingdom. Your kingdom and many of my day-to-day needs go hand in hand. Help me to understand that and link them together so that the motivation of all my prayers is geared toward advancing your kingdom.
God's kingdom.
During my prayer time, help me to see the difference between my kingdom and your kingdom. This life is not about me. Cause my prayers to be primarily focused on advancing your kingdom. In all of my prayers, Father, to you be the glory.
Wrong motives.
Lord, I don't want to pray with wrong motives. Reveal to me what is really in my heart when I pray. Do not let Satan deceive me. Do not let me deceive myself. Holy Spirit, I give you the right to shine on any hidden places in my heart and ask you to cleanse me of any wrong motivations and then guide me to pray what needs to be prayed to advance your kingdom here on this earth.
God's blessing.
Father, I ask you to bless me. I ask you to bless me financially. I ask you to bless my family. I ask you to bless my marriage. I ask you to bless my work. But as you bless me, I also pray that you would keep my eyes focused on you and your kingdom more than the blessings. It is easy to seek your blessings more than I seek you and your kingdom. Don't let me separate them. Don't let me think of them as being in separate categories. Bless me in all of these areas for the sake of your kingdom.